Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 5th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the celebration of Easter. As is the tradition of the church, I will greet you with the Easter greeting. He is risen. And I can hear you saying back, He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our Lord Jesus is alive and among us. And we gather in celebration of that good news this morning. We've made the journey through Holy Week. We've endured the suffering of the cross. And we've had our tears. But today, as we will discuss in a little bit, our tears flow like holy water. So let's begin together. The way we always do around the podcast, we begin by breathing and giving thanks to God for the gift of life. So do that with me right now, please. Let's take in a big, deep breath and hold on to it. Savor it. We are alive together in this moment. And let it go. And take in another one. As you take this breath and you savor this one as well, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy and hope and anticipation. Picture them in your mind. Give thanks to God for all of it, for every good and perfect gift comes from the hand of God. You open your hands up as wide as they'll go, and then extend your arms out wide. Turn your face toward the heavens. Thanks be to God. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb. We come in the quiet, seeking hope in the shadows. The stone was rolled away. The grave could not hold him. Christ is risen. The darkness has been overcome. Woman, why are you weeping? The risen Lord asked. Our sorrow turns to joy, our tears to praise. Mary, he called her by name, and she knew her Savior. He calls us by name, and we recognize his voice. Go and tell the good news. Jesus is alive. We will go with joy. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today's scripture reading comes from John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, God of resurrection hope, we gather together around this great feast and celebration, and we lean in and we listen to your good and living word, alive and among us. And in the midst of this celebration, we ask, O God, for your help. We prayed you would meet us right here in this moment, right where we are, and that you'd bless us with stillness, peace of mind. We ask that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could feast richly on this, your good word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, here we are. We gather together around this story, the story of an empty tomb, the story of Easter, a story familiar to a lot of us, but a story that we are called to listen to with fresh ears, to join Mary on the journey to the tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week while it was still dark, to walk with our sister there in the quiet gray of an early morning, before doctrine, before proclamation, before alleluias ring out, there are tears. Mary Magdalene stands outside the tomb weeping. And this is where the gospel dares to begin Easter. Not with triumph, not with certainty, but with grief that has not yet been resolved. Tears that have not yet been explained. Tears that do not yet know. They're standing at the threshold of new creation. The angels ask her a question. Woman, why are you weeping? It's not a rebuke. It's an invitation. And as Caroline Lewis observes, something has shifted in Mary. Earlier, she said, they have taken the Lord, and we do not know. But now, standing alone, her grief becomes singular. I do not know where they have laid him. Grief isolates us. It narrows the world down to I. Loss becomes personal, immediate, embodied. Mary is no longer speaking theology. She's speaking heartbreak. Then Jesus asks her the same question, but adds another question. Whom are you looking for? This is not the first time Jesus has asked this. It is the question he asked the first disciples at the beginning of John's gospel. It is the question he asked those who came to arrest him. And now, in a garden, he asks it again. Because Easter is not just about what we believe. It is about whom we seek. Mary does not recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. And in a way, she is more right than she knows, because this is a garden. And in the Gospel of John, that matters. Every little detail in John matters. From in the beginning to this moment, the whole story has been moving toward a new creation. Bishop N.T. Wright often emphasizes the resurrection is not merely life after death. It is the beginning of God's new world breaking into this one. So, the gardener stands before her, the new Adam, the one who has come to remake what was lost in Eden. But still, Mary doesn't recognize him, does not see, until this beautiful moment. And I believe it's perhaps my favorite moment in the entirety of John's gospel. He speaks her name. Mary. And that is the moment. That is the moment, not when she sees him, but when she hears him. Because as the good shepherd said, the sheep know his voice. And he calls them by name. In that single word, her name, everything changes. Her tears are not erased. I don't believe she stops crying, but her tears are transformed. And they become something like holy water. There's a deep truth here. A truth that Christianity is not first an idea, but an encounter. Mary does not arrive at the resurrection by thinking it through, reasoning it out. She comes to it because she is known. He speaks her name. Mary. She's named and she's called. And in being called, she is made new. But then there's this strange moment. Of course, her natural response is to run to him with open arms. But what does he say? Do not hold on to me. And at first reading, that might seem cold and odd. Why would Jesus say this? I believe it's because even resurrection does not mean going back. Mary reaches for what she had before, for the Jesus she knew, the one she lost. And who can blame her? This is the second time she has had to say goodbye. But Jesus gently insists. You cannot cling to the past, even a sacred past, because God is doing something greater. The resurrection is not the restoration of what was. It is the transformation into what will be. And here is the promise that follows. Jesus says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And this is the heart of Easter. Not just that Jesus lives, but that his relationship with the Father is now opened to us, all of us. The resurrection is the launching pad of God's new creation and the invitation for us to live inside it. Mary is not just witnessing something about Jesus. She's discovering something about herself. That there is a new future, a new identity. She's beginning to recognize her place in God's life. And so she goes and she tells the others. She proclaims, I have seen the Lord. She doesn't present some systematic theology. It's not a formula or a creed or a slogan. She offers a first-person, personal testimony, a living witness to the living God. The tears that began her mourning, the tears that she cried all weekend, they've become a proclamation. Her grief has become good news. And so what about us? What do we do with this? Well, we bring our tears, because Easter does not ask us to pretend that we're not grieving. It does not rush past the tomb. It meets us there. And it asks us the same question asked of Mary. Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? And then, if we're really listening, he speaks our name. Not in some abstraction, not in some general mystical way, but personally. And when he does, something happens. Our tears, just like Mary's, they don't simply disappear. They're gathered up. They're consecrated. They're made as holy water. The outward and visible sign that God meets us not beyond our humanity, but within it. Because the risen Christ is still the gardener, still tending the gardener, still calling for workers to tend the gardener, still making things new, even us, even now, here and now, he is calling your name. It is eternal, joyful, rich, deep, life-giving, hope-building, good news, to which we can say alleluia and amen. Heavenly Father, God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our God, we call out to you and we pray. Thank you for this joyful celebration of Easter. In the midst of it all, you know exactly who you are, because we come to you exactly as who we are. In the fullness of our frailty and our grief and our sin, you know us well. You know the times when we have chosen our own path, when we've been distracted and wandered off to the far city. But you call us home. You meet us at the gate. And because we have returned, you welcome us. And you love us. And you forgive us. And so we claim and celebrate that forgiveness. We offer you our deep and heartfelt petitions of prayer. God, in your mercy, look out over the landscape of the world and lift up leaders, disciples. Place them, we pray, O God, into the corridors of power and control. Lead them into places where they can impact the world with this good news of hope and resurrection life. And a world put back according to your order. And we pray, O God, for friends and family. We pray for the strangers that we pass on the street. God, in your mercy, bring your healing touch. Help us. Help us to live into this gospel. And you know us, each and every one of us individually. You know the prayer concerns that we hold in our hearts, the joyful anticipations and the concerns. So we take a moment amidst the celebration and the music and the songs and the prayers, we take this moment, O God, to trust you with these prayer lists. We unfold them and we hand them into your care. And we ask that you consider every word. And as you do that, we will sit quietly together and listen for your voice. Listen for the sound of our names and seek to feel your presence among us. We break our silence. We thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the rich traditions of our faith. Among the treasures of our faith is a prayer that goes by your name. We pray that you'll hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways on this glorious day, their hearts filled with the shoutings of Alleluia, He is risen. He is risen indeed. And He calls us by name. Our God calls us by name. The God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.